In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was the brief headline of an article in the Washington Post last week that caught my attention. It read simply, "Is God male? Is God male?" Now let me pause here for a moment for you to take stock of your first reaction to that question. What do you think? Without knowing the content of the article underneath the headline yet, stay with your initial reaction. And now wonder about the basis for your response. Why did you think what you thought? Is God male? For me, the answer is yes. I am a cradle Episcopalian, attended church weekly as a child. I suppose my earliest image of God was not atypical, i.e. the old man with the long beard sitting on a cloud. The gender culture of those days was framed by priests were men, altar and flower guilds were women, acolytes were boys, Sunday school helpers were girls, airline pilots were male, stewardesses were female, doctors were male, nurses were female. While there were exceptions, gender identity in roles in those days was fairly simple and not questioned. That is why my gut reaction was yes to the headline, "Is God male?" But we, you and I, are no longer living in those days. Things in these days have evolved and renormalized. Clergy are male and female. Acolytes, altar guild, flower guild, and Sunday school helpers here at Redeemer are male and female. Airline pilots and flight attendants are female and male. Doctors and nurses are female and male. And I am delighted to confess that my concept of God as old man with a long beard sitting on a cloud disappeared many decades ago. Our individual presumptions about gender are informed by so many ongoing experiences in our lives. Our faith to be a living one has to be an organic one, always evolving. While I think God, for me, will always be male, I also respect and understand that others might hold a different outlook. With that backdrop, let's return to the Washington Post article from last week entitled, "Is God Male?" The author was writing about a specific issue that is currently relevant to our national church. Every 3 years, the Episcopal Church gathers for a large convention of both lay and ordained delegates who have been elected to represent all dioceses. The Episcopal General Convention has been meeting in Austin, Texas, for the last 10 days. The purpose is to conduct business focused on a wide range of issues, including financial, liturgical, theological. Numerous policies and resolutions are debated and voted upon. This year, one topic is getting a lot of exposure. It concerns potential significant changes to our Book of Common Prayer. Now, before you have a panic attack that you will find a brand new revised Book of Common Prayer come September, let me remind you that this is the Episcopal Church. And change takes time, a lot of time. The last revision of the Book of Common Prayer was in 1979. And listen carefully. Any potential changes that are ultimately approved will not take effect until the year 2030. I hope your anxiety level has just been lowered. But it is important for us to know conversation for its revision has begun. The specific proposal that is generating the most attention in Austin concerns gender references. There is talk about transitioning to more gender-neutral language, to be more sensitive when referencing God, and/or to consider substituting more female references in prayers and the liturgy, to seek a gender balance. Specifically, the proposal states, quote, liturgical revision will utilize inclusive and expansive language and imagery for humanity and divinity. Let me say that again because I think it's so beautifully articulated. Liturgical revision will utilize inclusive and expansive language and imagery for humanity and divinity. Now, my purpose in initiating this topic is God male, is not to engage in a dialogue from the pulpit today about the theological basis for keeping things the way they are or for making changes. That I will leave to scholars who will offer up well-researched opinions from any number of perspectives. Any changes will come about years from now, and there will be many thoughtful conversations with national church leaders, both lay and ordained, before then. Rather, my purpose today is twofold. First, simply to alert you that such dialogue has begun at the national level. And second, to wonder with you, how might the question, is God male, hold potential for a broader conversation? During the last week, in the quieter times of my vacation, I reflected upon this question, and I am very comfortable that while, yes, for me, God is male, I was frankly unintentionally drawn into a much larger question. Who is God? God is so much more that transcends gender. In trying to answer this question, I found myself going down one rabbit hole after another. God is love. God is all-powerful. God is ever-present. God is forgiving. I could go on and on. But ultimately, I ended up with a gazpacho of inadequate descriptions about God that strung together without a sense of ultimate divinity. A jumble of words that pureed themselves into a useless thread of phrases that seemed to dilute the enormity of God. So on this hot Sunday in mid-July, I will leave you with that question. Who is God? Out of frustration or maybe laziness, I have come to a very simple conclusion to the question, God is. I have removed the who from the question and settled with the declaration that God is, period. As God said, I am who I am, and that is enough. Amen.